Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, welcome to Dudes on Hockey. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude, I'm emotionally drained.
It is draining. All the games, all the ups and downs of the past week.
But tonight, especially the Kings game that we just finished watching, Kings and Sharks, we were up. We were never up.
We were down. We were up. And then we were all around.
That game tonight was up and down and up and down more than Kirstie Alley's weight, dude.
It's true. It was like
Oh my God, pogo stick. Dude, what a first week.
It's crazy. So many things. I mean, it seems like there's been enough things to happen the last week to last us a whole season. We've had injuries already. We've had controversies. We've had predictions already shot to hell.
Let's just stop the season right now.
That's it.
We've had enough.
We're done.
There's three games in. We don't need anything else. We've got injuries, like you said. You know, we've got controversy. It's all a brewing here in San Jose, and we're going to talk about it right now.
First up is... We were both so sure that Dan Boyle was going to be the captain. No.
We got a lot of things wrong on last week's episode, but this was probably the biggest one that I think we felt the most confident about. Dude, Captain Rob Blake. And I guess maybe we should have seen this coming a little bit clearer, but I felt a little bit blindsided by it. But Rob Blake, new captain of the San Jose Sharks. What do you think, dude?
I mean, I was surprised. I wrote something on the blog, which is sharks.hockeyanalysis.com, about how surprised I was. I really thought it was going to be Boyle. I didn't understand the logic of choosing Rob Blake, especially since he's going to be 40 this year. You know, he's certainly on a year-to-year basis. I've said in the past that I think the captain should be someone with a little continuity so you don't have to go through this rigmarole every single year all the time. Clearly, the Patrick Marleau being stripped of the captaincy was the biggest controversy of the offseason. Do we really want to go through that and have this discussion all the time? Well, they chose to give it to Boyle, and, you know, I had a pretty strong reaction at the time, but you and many of our commenters at the blog sort of talked me down off the ledge. Maybe it wouldn't be my first pick, but it's certainly by no means a bad pick.
No, you can't necessarily argue the pick other than saying... Is it maybe a little bit short-sighted that Blake, by all accounts, is only going to be here one more year? Is it impossible that he might be on the team next year? No, it's not impossible.
No, not at all.
Based on his -3 tonight, it might be impossible. But
impossible.
Holy God. Dear Lordy.
Yeah.
Please
yeah.
forgive Rob Blake's -3. But... Now, he brings a lot of great things to the table. Obviously, he's been captain of the Los Angeles Kings twice. He's won a Stanley Cup. He's been to the finals twice. Seems to be a pretty even keel guy. A lot of veteran leadership. And the coaching staff sees something in him that maybe they think he's the guy to take him to the next level, dude.
I hope so. I hope so. And we were talking about this while we were watching the game, but maybe... Those of our younger viewers may not remember, or those who haven't been hockey fans for a very long time may not remember as clearly. And frankly, things get a little cloudy a few years out, but Rob Blake did win the Norris Trophy in 1998. And the fact is that he was one of the very best defensemen in the NHL for a long time, as in elite top two or three defensemen.
Isn't he just a few goals away from passing someone like Paul Coffey?
Yeah. Paul Coffey, who played in the high-flying 80s where he was barely a defenseman. I mean, you see some of those old Oilers videos. He's just skating the puck up the ice, not playing defense at all, and just shooting and scoring all the time. He's, we saw the stat on the telecast tonight that he's two power play goals away from passing Paul Coffey. I mean, that's an incredible achievement.
That is an incredible achievement. He obviously has the respect of the dressing room based on his accomplishments.
Yeah.
And, you know, dude, let me ask you this. Do you think maybe... Just speculation here. The coaching staff might have felt that Dan Boyle is maybe a little bit of a wild card.
It's possible. Or maybe just... Blake.
Maybe they didn't like his honesty in the offseason and the way that he sort of called out his teammates in public. I mean, yeah, maybe they really didn't like that. I don't know.
It's possible. Although he certainly didn't throw anyone in particular under the bus. I guess he did say the goaltending, which is obviously a shot in Nabokov because nobody else played in the playoffs.
Because that was Nabokov. Good tonight, too. Sure looks like Dan Boyle's wrong.
Yeah, Dan Boyle really... He really didn't call it well on that. But yeah, that could be part of it. It could be just Blake was the elder statesman. They wanted to give him a chance. Maybe they wanted a more calming voice because there were so many young players. But I still hope that Dan Boyle will be handed the captaincy once Blake retires, because I don't see anybody else right now who's an obvious choice. I guess you could make a case for Joe Pavelski, but we'll be talking more about Joe Pavelski later in the show. But
okay, we didn't get a lot of things wrong this summer. We talked a lot about
Malhotra.
We talked about, you know, what they might need to give up to get Danny Heatley. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I just want to point out a few other things that we have gotten wrong in the past. Right. Yeah. We both did predict the rise of the Sega Dreamcast.
That's true.
We were incorrect on that. Yes. We both did advocate for Dan Quayle on the $3 bill.
Yes, we did.
That didn't quite happen. And we both felt very strongly that David Letterman was the Immaculate Virgin.
And I thought that Megan Fox movie was going to be awesome. I really did.
So all those things, wrong. You see Jennifer's Body? Dude, admit to it.
I did not see it. Okay. I heard it really, really sucked.
But you want to see it.
I kind of do.
Yeah.
In a little bit. Anyway, let's talk about the games in reverse order. I guess we'll talk about the Kings first since it's so fresh in our minds. I mean, there was a lot of bad things about this game. A lot of bad things.
Can I throw a couple things at you?
Yeah, shoot.
Mark Edward Vlasic, -4.
Mm-hmm.
Dude.
You do understand that all the goals were on the power play, so they got pluses for none of them, right?
Okay, so that means that the Kings scored one goal on the power play, so the other five goals, Vlasic was out there for four of them.
Yeah, oops.
Oops.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
That's not good.
That is terrible. Another number that jumped out to me was Joe Thornton and... Blake were -3.
Hmm. Yeah.
Not good either.
Not good. Not good.
Now, they were instrumental in a lot of the good things that happened tonight, too.
That's true. That's true. And certainly one thing that I was happy to see in a sort of macabre way is that the leash on Nabby is a little short, which I think is a good thing. And one of the things I think we both complained about a little bit last year is it certainly seemed like Nabby was driving the bus in terms of the goaltending of the team. He's no longer driving the bus. You know, he gave up four goals. Maybe, you know, at least two of them weren't his fault. The fourth one was nasty, bad. And guess what? You're out. We put in Thomas Greiss,
who gave up a terrible goal that lost the game.
Yes, that was the worst goal since... Who fired that puck against the Wild that went in against Boucher? Was that Zdlicky? I think he fired a puck like from the neutral zone that beat Boucher one time last year.
Nabby letting that goal? Did that move of pulling Nabby actually cost the team the game? Or would they have never gained the momentum that they gained by if they just...
Would have gained the momentum, to be honest with you.
You think they played harder when Greiss came?
I think they did. Yeah.
I think they did too.
And to be honest, I'm glad that regardless of what the outcome was, I'm glad that they pulled him because I think it's the right move. And I think that here's another topic that could be for this show or future shows. Nabby's on the last year of his contract. It's not for sure that he'll be re-signed. The Sharks have to have a goaltender in the post-Nabby era. It might be Greiss. It may not be. After tonight, I guess you can't say it's going to be Greiss. But yeah, I mean, that was an absolute brutal goal by Greiss. But
he's
still
given
like the
up.
Call.
I mean, Nabby's given up 9 goals in what 7.5 periods.
Yeah.
That's bad.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
that's going to be a goals allowed, you know, close to 4.
Mm-hmm.
So, and his save percentage has got to be pretty low too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was really bad against Colorado.
Colorado, and then he played very well against the Ducks.
Yes. Yes.
And then he didn't look good tonight. So, and Greiss made some nice plays, but then he really, really choked on that one goal.
I hate to say it, but that's an amateur goals against. That's not an NHL goal. An NHL goaltender doesn't give up that goal, period. And so Greiss, certainly he's going to be getting a couple of stink eyes in the dressing room here tonight, which he thoroughly deserves. And I hope he realizes, listen, you can't just stand in the crease and hope things go your way in this league, because they're going to throw pucks at your feet all the time just to see what happens. And guess what? I mean, if he wasn't in net, it wouldn't have gone in. The only reason it went in is because it went off his leg.
So you're Todd McClellan, all right?
Mm-hmm.
You have great hair.
I do.
Okay.
I look a little like a hedgehog.
A little bit.
Okay.
Who do you start on Thursday night?
Against Columbus?
Yep.
I go back to Nabby. You have to. I mean, that's a brutal goal. But you let both guys know, listen, leash is short. You guys can both win the job or lose the job. And I'm not going to... And if Grice, if you're not hacking it, then I'm going to bring up Stalock and start his ass because I don't care. You know, I'll take whoever's willing to play, you know, the whole game and not give up a bunch of crap.
I hope that's going to be the attitude. I hope it is because, you know, they can't just run out Nabby or put Grice. And I fully expect Nabby to rebound. I mean, let's be totally clear here.
He's a pro.
He's an all-star goaltender. He's not going to play like this all the time. And has he come up short lately in big games? Yes. But, you know, Nabby's Nabby. He's going to have some great games. And you know, I think you're right. You start him Thursday, and I'm expecting him to have a good homestand.
We do have Wade Flaherty playing in China.
Yeah, so we can always bring him up. I mean, you know, the Claude Lemieux style.
Ace in the hole.
Absolutely.
Wade Flaherty.
Yes.
He's also the coach. So we could fire Todd McClellan and put Wade Flaherty as coach and in goal.
Cool. Can we fire Doug Wilson and bring over Garth Snow?
We could.
That's the former tandem in the New York Islanders.
We could, but that would be really, really stupid.
This is true also. This is true also. Dude, so let's go to the Ducks game.
Yeah. Ducks game was great. I mean, that was just a dominating performance.
Well, how about that second period?
Yeah. I mean,
two shots and they both came at the end.
And the second one was by... Scott Niedermeyer from center ice, because I think he didn't want the score sheet to read that they only had one shot.
I don't think that I have ever noticed a great player like Scott Niedermeyer less than I noticed him in that game.
Mm-hmm.
I barely noticed him at all. And
every line was playing well.
Every line played well. Nabby played well. The six defensemen played well. It was a great effort. It gave us a little bit of a glimpse of to see when this team is right.
Uh-huh.
How good they are. Now, the Ducks also looked pretty flat.
They did. It was their opening night, and just like the Ducks look flat, the Sharks look certainly very flat against the Avalanche on Joe Sakic night at the Pepsi Center in Denver. It certainly wasn't a good way to start the season. For those of you who were hoping a 7-0 start, is that what we started last year? 7-0?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Well, there's been a lot of changes in the offseason, and there's already a lot of changes during the season. So I guess we can all get over that. The honeymoon's over.
I never expected us to go a perfect road trip here. I think I said we were going to be 1-1-1. Mm-hmm. And we went 1-2.
Yeah. Should have been.
And we probably should have tied it. This game should have been a tie tonight.
Yeah.
So I'm really damn close.
Yeah.
But close doesn't cut it, dude. And you know, the Colorado game, the most disappointing thing to me in that game was that when the Sharks were getting the game handed to them and, you know, shoved down their throat, I kind of felt like they just took it.
Yeah.
Like they didn't fight back. They didn't do what they did tonight, which, you know, when they were down 4-0, Brad Staubitz tried to run some guy's head through the glass.
Right.
You know? And then there was a huge fight.
And Shelley Jody Shelley
and got in a fight and, you know, and he kind of got beat up a little bit, but that doesn't really matter. And they fired up the team. And the next thing you know, you've got a goal.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got two, and then you got three, and then you got four. And it just really changed the whole momentum. I thought that they weren't going to lie down and just take it. And I felt like that was a really bad way for them to start the year in Colorado, not just by losing, but losing the way they did. It made me fearful that nothing had changed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just going to be the same story, different names. But I was encouraged tonight by the comeback.
Absolutely. You think they learned that lesson from the Ducks game? Because the Ducks certainly tried to mount a comeback in the third period. They started throwing the body around. They were interested in getting into some chippy stuff. They did everything they could to get back in that game. It didn't work.
The Ducks Sharks are never going to quit.
That's
and that's
right.
One thing that even though you may hate them because they're the opposition you have to admire about that team, even though they've got a ton of new faces, they were as aggressive as ever, you know, even without Pronger. Not as successful, I don't think, especially on the blue line. They're not as punishing, but their forwards, really, they dole out a lot of physical punishment.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they know how to get real chippy. And what did you think of the new look Ducks?
I think they're going to be good. I mean, they're a tough team to beat. That top line is amazing. The second line maybe hasn't come quite together, just like the Sharks' top line hasn't come together. But those top two lines are going to be certainly as dangerous as any two-line combination in the NHL.
I didn't used to see a lot of parallels between the two teams, but now I see a lot between, you know, the Sharks and the Ducks. I think they're kind of built in the same mold now.
Yeah, it's a little similar.
Puck moving, shooting from the points. The defensemen aren't, you know, overly physical, you know, but they're effective. They all have some sort of offensive, you know, aspect to the game, except for maybe one guy, you know?
Yeah.
And right. And the Ducks Sharks is going to have, they're going to be some epic battles this year once the dust kind of gets blown off both teams.
Yeah.
In the later stages of the year, the Pacific Division is going to be pretty tight. And I was impressed with the Kings tonight, even though they folded a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're going to be good too.
They are.
For sure.
They are. And Quick maybe didn't play quite as well as people would like, and he didn't have a good first game either, which is...
That's the big question mark for them. And I wouldn't be surprised that if Lombardi feels like he's got... Everybody else is playing well, but his goaltending's not going well. You know, you could very well see him make a move. And you know, there's some teams out there that might be looking to make a deal early on. You know, if Dallas continues to scuffle, they've lost two now. Could you see Marty Turco in LA?
I hope not. Jeez.
Those two teams have connected on a deal before, a big deal. So if you're the Kings and you're going to offer, maybe you offer them a player like Thomas Hickey, who hasn't broken into your lineup yet, and maybe you offer them, you know, maybe you offer them Jarrett Stoll and Thomas Hickey. For
that's a lot, man. Wow. Yeah, but
for Marty Turco,
I see what you're saying, though.
You know, and the opportunity to re-sign him, you're gonna have to give that much if you want Marty Turco.
That's true.
You know, Neuendijk, if he wants to make that trade, and dude, I'm going on the record right now. I'm saying Marty Turco is gonna be traded this year.
Wow, you said that because, last year too.
I know. Well, you know, I gotta keep saying it till I'm right.
Okay, that's a good strategy. The Avs game was certainly disappointing all way around. It was Joe Sakic night. Sort of the cards were stacked against him, against a team that I thought, well, I still think, frankly, is going to be near the bottom of the West, but they certainly came out.
They've won two games to both their games this year, dude.
And the other one against Vancouver, another team that we thought was going to be great. So,
I know.
Yeah. So, but, you know, you see a lot of crazy things. Remember St. Louis, like, came out to a huge start last year and then really faded. You know, this could be the year for the Avs to start big, and then they might fade. I just don't think they have the horses to stay.
No, they don't. You know, and even though the Sharks are struggling a little bit, I mean, we're not the only ones who suck, dude. Vancouver's 0-3.
Yeah, Vancouver's
Detroit is 0-2. All right? Tampa Bay is 0-... Oh, crap. That's not good company, dude.
No.
But the first two teams... I mean, so if you look at that, Detroit went over to Sweden or Finland. Where were they? They were playing St. Louis over in Europe, and they lost both those games.
Yeah, right.
So,
Luongo got pulled.
Yeah, Vancouver.
So,
I watched that game last night of them against Columbus because I was kind of curious to see how Columbus looked. And I thought Vancouver really dominated the beginning of the game, and they just totally fell apart. So, that's another team that they don't look like they have a real great concept of what's going on up there right now.
It's a long season.
It All is. These teams and, you are going to have a I'm wild... not writing them off by any means, but you know, sometimes the good teams struggle at the beginning, and we're seeing that right now a little bit. New Jersey also 0-2.
Yeah. So we got a lot of time to figure this out, though, you know, and the roster is still very much in flux. The next thing I have on my list here, actually, before we start talking about the individual players, I want to make sure that everybody knows that you can email us with your questions and comments about the podcast. If you want us to answer anything or talk about anything, we're always open to suggestions. The email address is questions@dudesonhockey.com. So,
dude, can I ask you a question first? I'm sorry.
Are you going to send me an email?
Oh, hold on. Let me send it to you.
Okay, good. Okay, go ahead. Okay, now just read it to me.
I'm typing.
Oh, you're typing.
Okay. Dude, who is the most impressive player so far in the first week for you on the Sharks?
Wow. I'm going to go a little off the radar because I know the name that's on a lot of hardcore Sharks fans' tongues right now is Ben Ferriero. He's the guy that... you know, famously was put up to the second line in the Ducks game. But if you look at the shifts and stuff, he didn't really play on the top line very much. He played on the top line like at the beginning of the game and then Seta was back there.
Right.
I'm going to go with Jason Demers, actually, because Jason Demers is a guy that I never thought was going to make the team in camp. I thought Petrecki was ahead of him. I thought Jocelyn was ahead of him. I thought maybe even Mike Moore was going to be ahead of him. Jason Demers is a guy that, for me, has come completely out of left field, and he's looking very composed. He's not playing perfect hockey, let's be honest. He's a young kid. He's got a lot to learn. But he's playing more calmly and more composed than I certainly would have expected a, what, 21 or 22-year-old kid with basically, you know, odds makers not a chance to make the team. So I'm very pleasantly surprised by Jason Demers, and he's got a lot of room to get better. So that's good stuff. I mean, this is something we've talked about for a long time, is how the cupboard might be a little bare for the Sharks in the defensive department. Well, Jason Demers might be rejuvenating my hopes in that department.
He's looked like he's belonged, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, he's definitely playing. I mean, tonight he played more minutes than Kent Huskins. He's playing more important minutes. He's was second on the defenseman in power play time.
Yeah, he's playing
just with Dan Boyle.
He's playing with Boyle.
He's only playing 20 seconds less than Boyle on the power play right now. So, and they're even playing him on the kill.
Yeah.
So I think he's got the trust of Todd McLellan right now, and it seems like rightly so. I mean, Demers was in a game that was riddled with minus players for the Sharks. I mean, nobody was a plus, obviously, because we didn't have any even strength goals. He was an even strength player tonight.
Yeah.
So he wasn't out there for any of that garbage, whereas all the other defensemen, Huskins, minus two. I know Boyle was an even strength player tonight.
Hmm.
But, you know, Blake, Vlasic, Huskins, those were the three guys that were out there for most of the garbage.
Right.
Not Demers. Okay. Most disappointing player of the first week.
Most disappointing. Let's see. I'm a little disappointed. I was going to say Huskins, but frankly, you know, I gave Huskins a lot of crap, I think, last week and other weeks. He's actually been not nearly as bad as I had feared. He's definitely played better than I thought he might. I'm going to have to go with Ryan Clough. Ryan Clough looks a little lost right now.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I feel the same way, especially tonight. That was a game where, you know, I thought we really needed his intensity, and it didn't.
He wasn't really
come out
anywhere to be found. It's like he's big enough, he can dig pucks out of people's feet, you know, in the corners, and he can use that body in the corners. But, you know, if you're a big guy that can dig the puck out of corners and that's all you can do, then you're a third or fourth line player. And what we want Ryan Clough to be is to stand in front of the net. He's got good hands for a guy his size. He's got some, you know, pretty goals last season. He did, you know, some quick shots, some nice moves. I want to see some more stuff like that from Clough, or else he may not be on that second line very long, especially when you got guys like Ferriero really trying to make a push to come back up there. And you got a big guy like Fraser McLaren, who admittedly certainly doesn't have the hand skills that Ryan Clough does. But I mean, that's the question, is can Ryan Clough continue to go forward in what he's supposed to be doing?
Now it looks like, you know, your TiVo crapped out on us tonight before we could see the last minute. Well, it looks like Mr. Clough got in a fight with 14 seconds left in the game.
Damn Uverse.
He fought Wayne Simmons. Now, I don't know what happened, but we would love to hear from the listeners to give us a little description about what happened here. It looks like he got the extra penalty, too, with 2 minutes and a five-minute major. So,
all right.
You know, maybe he got a little testy there at the end, but his offensive play has been offensive.
Yes. Well, that's a lesson to me to always record an extra hour at the end of every Sharks game. So I'm not going to make that mistake again. Damn it. I wanted to see that. All right, dude. Actually, why don't you give a quick rundown of who you're, the same two questions for yourself.
I hate to be kind of a copycat, but I would have to say that, you know, Ryan Clough would have been my answer. And, you know, I think you have to kind of put, I'd have to put Nabby in that category too.
Yeah.
You know,
okay.
Two disappointing games. When you're an elite NHL goaltender, you can't have two big steamers.
Right.
In the first week of the year, you can't do it. And I think the problem might still be that the Sharks don't have a legitimate number two to push Nabby into making him feel like he's under pressure.
Yeah.
You know, he's sitting there on the bench watching Greiss have a puck dribble through his legs.
Yeah.
On a save he's made, you know, 20,000 times. you know, he's probably not sitting there going, gosh, I really got to step up my game. Yeah, he's probably thinking, geez, you know, I had another bad night, but this kid, he's not going to be able to take my job.
Yeah.
So it might not be too long. If Grice has a couple another bad nights, you're probably right. I mean, we might see Alex Stalock up here quicker than some people realize.
Or even Sexsmith, whoever's hot in Worcester.
We might. And I would say, God, most impressive, I got to say Patrick Marlowe.
He's been a monster,
yeah. You know? He's been a monster. He's been playing well. You know, he had, you know, a great shorthanded goal against Anaheim. He's been totally aggressive. Seems to be playing loose.
I love how he dressed down Ryan Whitney, who is no slouch.
Ryan Whitney went sliding into the net.
Yeah,
that was my favorite
part. He scored
the
puck and Ryan Whitney.
It was good. And, you know, the last two games for Heatley and Thornton have been good too, although maybe not in their own end at the beginning of this game tonight, but they've kind of come alive as far as their chemistry. Seto has a great goal tonight.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go with Marlowe, and I'm going to go with Nabby as most disappointing.
All right, dude. So we talked about Demers already, and we talked about Huskins and all these other guys, but there's two guys now that are hurt, that are on the IR, and that's Pavelski and Torrey Mitchell. So
Pavs isn't on the IR yet, which is the bizarre part.
He's technically a healthy scratch tonight,
I guess.
It doesn't really matter either way.
Well, if they don't put him on the IR, they can't really bring up someone to take his spot.
Well, they're only running 21 guys, so they still got two spots without even putting him in the IR.
So
the reason why you would put a person on injured reserve is because it does open up an active roster spot to bring up somebody. But since the Sharks are running so lean in terms of the number of players they have around, they don't even really need to put him on IR at the moment. But yeah, so Pavelski's out 2 weeks. So what does that do to this team? What's going to change? I mean, we saw what happened tonight. That moved Marlowe to the center. That put Ferriero on that line with Klo on the other side for whatever reason. And obviously Pavelski's not there. So, you know, in a nutshell, what do you think this means, Pavelski being out for a couple of weeks?
I think that Jamie McGinn's going to be back. I mean, okay. If you're asking, like, I think they need another skilled player. Mm-hmm. I think he was a salary cap victim more than a victim of his play in the first game. I thought he played pretty well, and I thought he had a great preseason. I felt really bad that he got sent down, actually, and I didn't totally understand it. And it's got to be a salary thing because McLaren
makes waivers thing, I think, because there's only two guys on the team after the first game that didn't have to clear waivers to be sent down. Well, I think Thomas Grice technically wouldn't have to clear waivers either, but it's Ferriero and McGinn, and you couldn't send down Ferriero because he was like the talk of the town. So McGinn had the short straw almost by default. I think they wanted McLaren up to play against the very physical Ducks, and maybe they weren't happy with some of the stuff McGinn did. I don't know. I mean, how much can you get from one game? But I guess, you know, that's the excuse they gave, is find his game again in Worcester. It's like, after one game, I don't know what you can find or lose. But
come on.
I didn't really fall for that. But yeah, I think McGinn could be back. But I mean, Pavelski kills penalties. He's on the power play, wins faceoffs. I mean, this is a huge loss for the Sharks. And maybe he's not a name that people think about when they think about the Sharks all around the league and in other places. You know, he's as important to this team, really, as anybody, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, it's a giant aching void.
Yeah.
In the middle of the lineup, it affects the penalty kill, affects the power play. And, you know, it'll be an opportunity to see, you know, the Red Wings have players step up all the time.
Yeah.
When guys go out, they have players step up and fill the role. So, you know, we'll see. Can Ben Ferriero play legitimate second line minutes?
Mm-hmm.
You know, tonight, you know, he didn't really do anything, but, you know, he's probably going to get another crack unless you see McGinn get called up. We'll see what happens. You know, I think that this is a time for Fraser McLaren to shine right now.
Yeah.
On the third line. And he hasn't really done anything. And, you know, he hasn't gotten really involved in any sort of physical altercation. And, you know, he had a few plays tonight where he was kind of in and around the net and seemed to be in the right place, but couldn't quite make it connect. That third line struggled tonight, I thought. Malhotra, you know, was under 50% in his faceoffs. I think he was around 38%, which is really low for him.
Yeah.
But Pavelski, it's going to hurt, especially if he's out more than those 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, at first they said a couple weeks, and then I read someplace else 2 to 4 weeks. So that doesn't make me feel good.
Well, he had a procedure on his lower body, so You know, that
could be a vasectomy
whatever
for all we know.
That means, you know, though, I'm sure those hurt.
Yeah, I think they do.
So,
gotta ice that.
I guess. Torrey Mitchell, still no word really on his return, dude.
I'm getting really uneasy about Torrey Mitchell now because we haven't heard anything, although we did hear that he skated. So that's good. But is this guy going to be the Grant Hill of hockey? I mean, I'm worried. I mean, this is two leg injuries in 2 years. This is a guy that earns his living by being really physical and crazy.
Dude, do you remember 2 years ago, actually, for two camps in a row, if I remember right, you can correct me, dude, Devin Setoguchi was this player. Remember, he was snake bit by injuries. He kept going out in camp. We never saw who he was. We felt like, who is this guy? First round pick. What a waste. You know, and kind of in his last shot, he was healthy, made the team, and look what kind of player he is. So he was able to overcome those injuries at a young age. And I think Mitchell will too. It doesn't seem like these are things that are career threatening. And he came back from that leg injury last year and looked pretty darn good in the playoffs. But until we see him on the ice, it's going to be a question mark.
I'm just a little uneasy. Maybe I'm jumping the gun.
No, I don't know if you're jumping the gun, dude. You have every right to be uneasy, but I still think Mitchell's going to be back. He'll be back. I think he'll be back in 2 weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he'll be out again in a day.
Yeah, right. Hangnail or something. All right, dude, we got to get out of here, but I want to open the floor to a general NHL topic. I'm going to go first. I want to talk about the Philadelphia Flyers. I watched the Versus game, them playing Washington. The Flyers are, they're scary good. I mean, they gave up a lot of goals tonight, but they're scary good with Pronger. You know, Richards had a hat trick tonight. Carter looks great.
You think about how deep that team is when you've got a third line of Van Riemsdyk, Giroux. I mean, these are first-round pick forwards here running around on a third line, dude. It's
scary.
They are scary.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
if they can keep their heads on straight and not self-implode, and you got to think a guy like Chris Pronger, that's why he's there. They've got Tiemann, they've got Pronger, they've got LaPerriere, they've got some good leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Flyers, that bet is looking pretty damn good,
it's
dude. Although
good.
I'd rather lose it and have the Sharks win the Cup.
Sure. I'd easily
Sharks Flyers would be a matchup in the Stanley Cup that I would not want to see as a Sharks fan because I think it would be extremely difficult.
Yeah, but geez,
extremely difficult.
Emery's going to be the question, right? He gave up 5 goals tonight.
Yeah,
that's going to be the question. But God, the Flyers are built to win at the moment. If they don't have any injury problems, I mean, I love the way that they're looking. Okay, dude, your turn. What do you got? Anything in the NHL you want to opine on? What do you got?
I would like to talk about the classless Glenn Sather.
Okay.
Dude.
That's a good... Okay.
Dude.
This is good.
Okay. Our whipping boy.
Yes.
Alexei Semenov.
Yes.
Got totally called out for being a Mike Schmidt.
We tease because we love when it comes to Semenov, but...
We do.
Anyway.
Dude, for the listeners who didn't hear the story, Semenov signed a contract with the New York Rangers, I'm assuming to be their 7th defenseman, and his wife told him that he couldn't do it.
Which I don't understand in the first place, but all things aside.
And she wanted him to come back to Russia. And so I guess he went into Glenn Sather's office, the GM of the New York Rangers, and he cried.
I'm trying not to laugh a little bit.
So, dude, that's one thing on its own. I feel bad for him. This guy wants to play in the NHL.
Yeah.
And now he has to go back to Russia and stand in line for a pierogi or whatever it is that goes on over there, okay? But
get substandard medical coverage.
I'm sure
in the KHL.
He'll probably make more money in the KHL.
Yeah.
But that's not what the guy wanted to do. And you just wonder what sort of massive miscommunication happened there between Semenov and his wife. He's like, old guy, I go to New York. I play for Rangers. Come back, bring milk. You know, I mean, you're like,
and she's like, when I said come back, I mean, you can't go to New York.
What? But why is Glenn Sather telling people that Semenov cried in his office?
Yeah, I know. That's not real nice.
That's not okay.
I mean, you can phrase that in so many other ways that would make more
sense. He was devastated.
He was upset.
He growled and ate a baby.
Right. He he had he we waved fire at him and he ran. I mean, it could be, you know, that he was very disappointed.
I was disappointed in to read that, and I feel bad for him, and I hope that he finds peace with the Wolfman and Dracula and the creature from the Black Lagoon in Russia.
Oh my God. In Tonto.
But
yeah.
Seriously though, I feel bad for him, and good luck to Semenov and the Bride of Frankenstein.
And I hope he finds a job in the KHL.
I'm sure he will. I mean, you know.
And we really do wish him the best.
If Zhirdev can get a job over there, anyone, right? Anyone can. Case How about those point. Montreal Canadiens?
Yeah.
3-0.
All right.
We sure got that wrong.
Well,
they're not going to keep that up.
It ain't over
right?
yet. That's ain't over yet, dude. That's the message of the week. It ain't over yet, Sharks fans. We'll be back again next week. Podcasting as always. Same time, same place. Talk to you then.
Opening night, dude.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.